harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. We are continuing our study on Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have looked, first of all, at his supernatural birth, and I pointed out to you many things about his birth that proves that he is the Son of God. Then we looked at his supernatural life, and I pointed out to you several things about his supernatural life that is Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then as we left the air on yesterday, we were reviewing the fact that his supernatural death testifies that he is the Son of God. We looked in Matthew chapter number 27, and in verse 45 and verse 46, we see there is a supernatural darkness that occurs when Christ is hanging on the cross. You remember he said to the Jews, "You don't believe that I'm the Son of God, but when you've lifted me up, then you'll know that I am the Son of God." There is a darkness that covers the face of the earth from midday until mid-afternoon. 3 hours of total darkness. And again, may I say, this is not a solar eclipse. It's not an alignment of the planets, but it is a miraculous darkness that God sends on the face of the earth while God the Father takes God the Son into judgment for the sins of the whole world. And we saw there's a supernatural darkness. Then we saw in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 50, that he died a supernatural death. The Bible simply said, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Death could not conquer him. He said in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And again, I emphasize, no one ever died as the Lord Jesus Christ died. He simply exhaled his breath. It did not breathe in again. You and I cannot do that, but he could, since he's God. And then we saw also in Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 51 through verse number 53, there were supernatural disturbances. He said to those unbelieving Jews, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he." Notice in Matthew 27, verse number 51, the Bible said, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." Here we see there are supernatural disturbances that take place when Christ is hanging there on the cross. Notice them again. He said, first of all, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. I read where one author said that the veil of the temple was so thick and so strong that it would have taken 12 yoke of oxen to have torn it in two. But yet, my friend, when Christ died at Calvary, the veil rent, and notice the order, from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top as though some men were cutting the veil, but from the top to the bottom as though God himself is rending the veil of the temple. You see, that veil had said to all of the Gentiles, and even to the Jews, everyone except the high priest, you cannot come back here. This is closed. This is where God meets man, and you cannot come. But when Christ died, that barrier that once had said, keep out, now is an open door, said, whosoever will, let him come into the presence of God. So there's a rending of the veil, that supernatural disturbance. And then there's the earthquake and the rocks rent. While those Jews are there on the hill of Calvary, they have been ridiculing and scorning and mocking the Son of God for 3 hours. And now then, it's darkness. And all of a sudden, the earth begins to quake. And then the rocks began to rent. And then the Bible said the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints came out and went into the city and were seen of many after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, my friend, there's got to be a 3-day, 3-night break in that verse somewhere. I'm convinced that the earthquake took place when Christ died, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. But they did not get out of their grave until after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was to be the first fruits of the resurrection. So we see here there were supernatural disturbances. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, then you'll know that I am he. But now then, I want to move into the fourth area of our study. Not only do I present to you as Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, his supernatural birth, his supernatural life, and his supernatural death, but I want to deal with his supernatural resurrection as Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The greatest bombshell to ever explode in the face of an unbelieving world was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I remind you, no founder of any other religion ever rose from the dead. But I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ came forth on that resurrection morning. Let me remind you that Christianity is not a religion. It is salvation. Religion is man doing something for God to gain his favor to go to heaven when you die. But salvation is God doing something for man. It's God showing forth his mercy in sending his Son to die for sinners that we may have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And his resurrection makes that salvation possible. May I say without an apology that there is no salvation apart from a believing in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you talk to the liberals and the modernists, you'll find that many of them doubt or deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to point out 2 passages of Scripture that reveal to us the importance of the resurrection of Christ in our salvation. Notice, if you will, please, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15, and verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Notice the words, the Bible said, by which also you're saved. What is the gospel? Verse number 3. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. But it does not end there. Verse number 4 said, and that he was buried. And then again in verse 4 the Bible said, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, my friend, there are 3 essential elements in the gospel given to us here in verse number 3 and verse number 4. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. In his death, he took care of the penalty of our sin. In his burial, we have the putting away of our sin. He became our scapegoat and bore our sin away. But then in his resurrection, we have power over our sins. And because he died, was buried, and rose again, then we have power to live with victory over our sin. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, identifies the gospel. And by the way, that is the full gospel. Sometimes I'm perturbed by those folks who claim to have a full gospel, and they're not even sure it'll last a full day. But the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So the resurrection is a part of the gospel, and you'll never be saved unless you believe the gospel. Then the word of God said again in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice again verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, I say to you that it is an absolute must that a person believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, there are those who would say, well, preacher, I believe that's the spirit resurrection. Well, you got a problem there, because you cannot bury a spirit. No, my friend, and you cannot kill a spirit. It does not die. No, the body dies. The body is buried, and the body is raised again. Let me give you one more verse of scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 14, the Bible said, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. So the importance of the resurrection, it is an absolute must that a person believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved by the grace of God. He must believe the gospel. Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Paul said that's the gospel by which you also are saved. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I do want to take this opportunity and wish all of you who listen to the radio a Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year to the glory of our God. Let me also wish a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the staff and management of all of the radio stations that carry the broadcast. We're all laborers together with God, and I trust that God will use our labor to His glory. As you go through the holiday season, don't forget the reason for the season. Keep Christ in the center of all your Christmas activities. As you do your giving, I trust you'll remember the Harvest Time broadcast. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not wait. It's growing.